That is why we come to you, O God, asking for your favor and your mercy and your grace to rest upon us. Build us up, O God. Build us up. Give us, O God, a lift and a raise. Lift everyone up here in this assembly. Give us, O God, a new ministry. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. Are you happy to be in church? All right. I know from last week, most of you are very tired. In fact, all of us are tired, isn't it? So I would endeavor, I'm not promising, but I'll endeavor to make it very short so that we can go home. What do you think? Is that a good idea? Oh. Is that a good idea? Or you want a long message? All right. Welcome to the month of Katalage. Oh, you are not excited about it. I said, welcome to the month of Katalage. The word Katalage, it is pronounced, it is spelled cartilage? But it is pronounced, it's a Greek word, and it's pronounced Katalage, hallelujah. And it means reconciliation. It means reconciliation. And we're going to start tonight, and the message that I want to preach tonight for all of us is ministers of reconciliation. Ministers of reconciliation. Hallelujah. You and I have been chosen to become ministers of reconciliation. Amen. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11 to 21, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God, and I trust are well known to your conscience, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. If we are beside ourselves, it is for God, or if we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now are we ambassadors of Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Here ends the reading of his holy word. Now he says that he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Now the word reconciliation is essentially to bring together those who are at variance, those who are at loggerheads, is to return to favor with the one who was not in favor. I don't know whether you understand. It's like two parties are at loggerheads. They are quarreling. They are not talking to each other. And then you come and you put them together and bring them back in favor. That is what reconciliation is. Now you ask me, what has that got to do with us? What is reconciliation? The Bible says that God made man in his own image and put man in the garden and told man that take dominion over the fish, over the birds of the air, the fish in the sea, and the things that creeps on the land. That's Genesis 1:28. He gave man that power. And man, through high treason, actually sinned and disobeyed God by taking the fruit and eating it. Remember, God said to Adam, in the day that you shall eat this, you shall die. That means that you and I will, the favor, you shall die in favor. I don't know whether you understand me. That favor will be gone. You will no longer have me in your corner. You will no longer have the authority that I have given you. I always use this analogy. If, say, for instance, I am married to you and I'm a millionaire. I have like a big, a big company that I run. In the day that we marry, immediately all authority comes to you. You can go into the company and hire or fire anybody. Why? Because you have authority. In the day we divorce, immediately that authority is no longer yours. I don't know whether you are getting it. Because you are no longer connected to me like you used to before. So now the power and authority that you had before is gone. So you lose your power, you lose your authority. So if that happens, it means that we will need somebody to bring us back together. Are you getting it? Somebody will have to take it upon themselves that these two parties that are no longer are divorced and they are no longer together, they need to be brought together. Amen. Amen. To be reconciled together. And the Bible says that God so loved the world that he took the initial step. The initiative of reconciliation was not taken by man. Even though man is supposed to be the lower party, isn't the lower party the one who is supposed to go and make peace? Oh? You know that sort of the prodigal son? It's a story of reconciliation. You know, he said, he came to himself and he realized that he had fallen short of the favor that he had before. He had fallen short of the grace he enjoyed. He had fallen short of the wealth and everything. He said, how many of my father's servants have food enough to eat? And I'm languishing and perishing in this place. I shall arise and go back to my father and say to my father, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. Now, make me as one of your high servants. That means that let me be reconciled at least to a lower level. Amen. But this is not the story. In this story, God is the one who takes the bold step to come and reconcile with us. Are you getting it? By sending his only son to die for us. And he said that just as one man's sin brought death into the world, by one man paying the price, he went on a cross and reconciled us back to himself. Hallelujah. Amen. So now, there has been this long, so we've dealt with a long-standing dispute. We've dealt with God coming, sending, taking the initiative to send his son to die. And in John chapter 1, verse 12, the Bible says that, and as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. Remember that story? As many as believed, to them he gave the power. So now, as we have received him, you now have the power of reconciliation. You have now been reconciled. I told you that if I only spend the whole year on the foundations of our faith, I would have done a good job. So I'm trying to go back to, this is all Christian foundations. Am I making sense? So this is really the tenet of our faith. If we can grasp this, then we will understand and we'll have a certain power and authority that we'll walk in. Are you getting it? So, as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the children of God. So now, Paul is explaining to us in, go back to 2 Corinthians, we're looking at our main text. Christ has now died. I'm not sure what verse I'm on now. Christ has now died. For the love of Christ, verse 14, compels us to be judged. He died for all of us. Now, therefore, now on, we regard ourselves not in the flesh, because we are no longer known by the flesh or known by the lower nature of man. Okay? Verse 18, then now God, who has reconciled us to himself, has decided that now that we are reconciled, he is giving us the task to play little Jesus. Am I making sense? Jesus took the step to come and reconcile us to God. And as many as believed, he's given them the power to now also go out there to reconcile others to God. So he says that now, he has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation, which means that God has put in our mouth, each and every one of us, the word of reconciliation, which means, or let's break it to modern language, which means that anytime we come into contact with people, we must ask ourselves, is this person still at loggerheads with God? If he is, then he has given us a word that has to bridge the gap so that the person comes back into favor with God. If I can only explain this for you to grasp it, I think we can go home. Did you get that? I'm trying to see on your faces whether you understood what I'm saying. Yeah. So it is not the pastor's job to preach reconciliation anymore. It is not the church's job to preach reconciliation anymore, but it is the job of every believer. Because every believer has been given the ministry of reconciliation. In other words, every one of us has become ambassadors of Christ. So it means that our lifestyle, the way we do things, the way we live, the way we portray, the way we behave, must show reconciliation, must make people attracted back to the person who was at loggerheads with. I'll give you a story. The way you are looking at me. When I was young, I think I've told this story before. When I was young, we're living in the same house, but my dad lived in one side of the house by himself. And then the rest of the children lived on the other side. And anytime my dad wanted company, and I'm the one that he really wanted my company, because I talk a lot. You know, I give stories, everything from school to, and he just likes to hear a human being making noise around him. So when he wants me by himself, his side, what you do is you call my older brother and give my older brother a can of 7-Up. You remember 7-Up? Give my older brother a 7-Up. He said, go and, this is the exact words, go and make Christo Alewa. My dad used to call me Christo. He said, go and tease Christo with this. So my brother will come and then he'll be going like this with the can of 7-Up, and then he'll be sipping, and like, you know, obviously it works like clockwork. Now also, how come you're giving my brother 7-Up and you haven't, which means sometimes I can be there for 3 hours. Sometimes I can be there and fall asleep. My dad knows that if he gives me the 7-Up, I'll leave. So he will keep me there. And then after a while, forget about the 7-Up. And as we start talking about my day in school, start stories and everything. Are you getting it? So what my older brother was doing was ministering reconciliation. Because without him coming to tease me with his 7-Up, there's no way I'll go to the Father. Because I am very contented with my brothers, my older brothers and sisters here in sin. Are you getting it? The Father wants me. The Father doesn't want to be alone. The Father wants me to come to Him. So the way the Father will get me to come to Him is to use the 7-Up to tease. Sometimes when my older brother is not there, then he will be forced to call my other sister or somebody else to come. Then my dad will give something to go and do alewa, which means that go and tease with this, so that they will come. So God has blessed us to go and tease the world, to get the world back to Him. God has given us the peace of mind that we are enjoying, so that we will go and tease the world and tell the world that, look at what God did for me. You know, once I was a sinner, but now I'm saved by grace. And look, the things I used to do, I do them no more. The place I used to go, I go there no more. Now, look at me. My life is all right. Now, I'm better than where I used to be. I am now, my life is nicer than what it used to be like. Then, if God did that for you, then why don't I come to that God? Are you getting it? Verse 20. Now, then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God was pleading through us. You know, my big brother was pleading for my attention for the old man, for daddy. Because if he comes and says that the old daddy is calling you, it won't entice me to just run. But when he comes with a 7-Up, so the 7-Up carbon biscuit, you know, something, or chocolate, you know, Golden Tree chocolate. And then it's like, then I have to go. And not only just go, but I have to stay there until I get my share. How many understand? So from today, anytime you come into contact with somebody, remember the 7-Up. You are the one who has been given the 7-Up. The 7-Up was given to you not because you are nice, not because you did anything for it, but because He wanted you to use it to tease the world, to bring them to Himself. Are you getting it? So the ministry of reconciliation is not for just one specific person. So if you are there and you never speak to anybody, you never use your life as a testimony to get somebody attracted back to God, then you are not a minister of reconciliation. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So, and the thing with that, you must understand that we as Christians, our tendency is to be like the elder brother in the story of the prodigal son. We are with God, and we don't want the younger brother or the prodigal son who went out there to spend all the father's living in riotous living. We don't want them back home. So when he comes and the father is throwing a party and everything, we are memory and complaining. Without realizing that the blessing that we are enjoying, it's the same right for the younger brother. Because the fact that he's a prodigal son doesn't change the fact that he's a son nevertheless. And if he's a son, then he has to have the privilege of the father's love. Am I making sense? So you see, when you see the person who, the junkie, you see the person who's lying, you know, on the street, or the person who's hopeless and everything, remember that it could have been us. It could have been us. The only reason why it is not us and but it's them is because God is giving us the alewa to go and tease it. Tease them with it. Can you imagine if my brother took the 7-Up and went to drink it and not go and come and tease me with it? What would happen? I won't go to the woman. And my Oma will call him again the next day and give him another 7-Up to go and tease, come and tease me with it, and he doesn't come again. Then third time, my dad is not going to call him. He'll call somebody else. Because I've given the opportunity to go and reconcile this person back to me. You haven't taken it. I've given a second opportunity. You haven't taken it. Why should I give you the third opportunity when there are other children there? Oh, you are not understanding what I'm saying. So the ministry of reconciliation is essentially our mandate for blessing. I don't know whether you are getting it. What makes you an ambassador is not your, what's the word? It's not how good you are. It's not your eloquence. It's not the level of education that you have had. No, what makes you an ambassador is grace. Because ambassadors are appointed. If they are appointed, means they are chosen from a plethora of people. Are you with me? See, there are a group of people to be chosen from. And the government or the president says that I choose Shawnee to be my ambassador for country A. It's grace, because it could have been any other person. It's by grace that we are saved through faith. It's not of ourselves, lest any man should boast. Grace is what has given us the salvation that we enjoy. And grace is what has given us the privilege to have something to advertise. An ambassador is an advert of the country he or she represents. I don't know whether I'm making sense to you. So the goodness of the country, the best of the country, he advertises it to the country. Look at Romans 5:10. Romans chapter 5, verse 10. And if we were enemies, for if we, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Amen. And we have now been given that ministry where many lives are going to be saved by our life. I don't know whether you understand me. Many lives have to be saved by our life. That is why the judgment of Christians, the judgment of believers, is what did you do with the salvation? How many lives did you reconcile back to him? Have you realized that the church hasn't taught reconciliation very well? We teach people, go and win souls. Why should they win souls? Because that is the job of the Christian today. Jesus did it to show us as an example what we need to do. He suffered in reconciliation. So are we to suffer to reconcile? It's not going to be that easy that you go and say, Christ has done this, so come, Christ will do it for you. No. The same people you try to reconcile, the people who stone you. They are the people who crucify you. They are the ones who spit on you. But you have to understand that that is why you are called. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave Jesus into the world, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So you go and reconcile. Whoso believes will be reconciled. I think I've finished preaching now. Hallelujah. So it's a ministry, and a ministry means a present continuous call. A ministry is not a one-off. A ministry is given once and it's continuous. Yeah? So I'll go through a few things, then we can go on. So, in order for us to have that corresponding movement, we have to remember Christ self-sacrificed, love laying aside his own, Bible says, let this man be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, even though he was equal with God. He took the form of a servant and died, isn't it? So we have to have that same mind, not to take the mind of being high, but to calm down. Reconciliation cannot happen in pride. I don't know whether I'm making sense to you. We have to identify with everybody. You know, assuming my dad's part of the house is where holiness is, where blessing is, where God is, where purity is heaven. My brother has been called and given a can of 7-Up. He has to come back to the side of the house where the children are, where the sinners are. And he has to find me, identify with me that, you know, I'm your brother. And I went to dad and dad gave me this. Yeah. So if you also go to dad, you're also going to get this. Assuming this gives satisfaction. The 7-Ups give satisfaction. It quenches your thirst. It is sweet. It is nice. When you drink, you feel good. And it's also a representation of dad's love. So I'm enjoying daddy's love. I'm enjoying his. Assuming that as soon as he comes, we, the sons or the children who haven't received his blessing, we are kicking him. We are pinching him. We are spitting on him. But as a minister of reconciliation, he will not run away from the room until he's gotten me to leave the room to go towards daddy. See, sometimes what happens is that we go and then the slightest kick and we get offended and upset. And we don't feel that now it's like I won't do it again. Then we walk off with the blessing without realizing the blessing was given for a reason. You get it? Yeah. What the sanity you are enjoying is a blessing from God. Remember your mates who have gone insane? What did you do right? What is it that you have done that makes you better than them? Nothing. So you see, the 7-Up you have in your hand, is no, you didn't work for it. So the price you have to pay for having that 7-Up is to stand in a place where they are kicking you and still present the 7-Up that this is from the Father. And try and convince me, because you know, those times we were watching, there used to be a program called Skippy. The Bush Kangaroo. You won't know it if you're a certain age. How do you know that one? that was after your time, before your time. Skippy the Bush Kangaroo was like a very nice kids program. It was a very nice program that kids, I mean, you are glued. Every kid is glued to it. So for me to leave the Skippy to go to the old man's place, that 7-Up must be so enticing. 19 what? 68 to 19 what? 70. It was shown up to about 75. It was shown up to, yeah, that's it. That's Skippy the Bush Kangaroo. Da-da-da-dum, ta-dum, 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 ta-dum. That's how the song goes. And the boy's pet is Skippy. So for me to leave Skippy, the bush kangaroo, and go to the home, because by the time I go to the he's watching news. And now at that time, news is not my preference. Yeah, GBC. This was Australian thing. When you go home, if your parents are a certain age, ask them, do they know Skippy? They'll tell you. And you know, sometimes when he comes, we are all in front of the TV watching Skippy. Then he'll come and stand by the in front of the TV and go like that. Advertising the 7-Up. Sometimes like, the older ones will be pushing him. That's what the older ones, they won't go and get the 7-Up. They know this 7-Up is only for one person, that's me. Hallelujah. So you see, that hitting, that shouting, that pushing should not scare you from doing. Because when he does it, the following day, guess what? He's called again. He's giving chocolate. He's giving oven fresh biscuit. 7-Up. Because that lures me. Hallelujah. I think that's the best explanation of. So, in spite of the sacrifice, personal sacrifice that we have to pay to go into that ministry, it shouldn't be too much. We have to bring ourselves low so that we understand that this thing, this sacrifice is nothing. The insults you are getting is nothing compared to the joy that the Father gets when we are able to reconcile others. Hallelujah. That is why even when Jesus at the Garden of Gethsemane said that let this cup pass over me, the Father was still insisting that no, this cup is not going to pass because I've made you a minister of reconciliation. You are reconciling the world. So you have to go through. See, so everything Jesus went through, you and I will have to go through as ambassadors of reconciliation. Hello? Am I making sense? Why am I feeling that you're not understanding what I'm saying? Huh? So what is the ministry of reconciliation? Number one, the ministry of reconciliation involves the proclamation of the gospel and its assurance that sins, the assurance that forgiveness of sins is available in Christ. The ministry of reconciliation involves the proclamation of the gospel and assurance that sin, forgiveness of sin is available in Christ. Remember, sin prevents that relationship. Was it Isaiah 59 that says that the ear of the Lord is not too heavy that he cannot hear, nor his hand too short that he cannot save? But your sin has put enmity between you and God, so that when you pray, he will not hear you. Are you with me? So sin creates that distance. But reconciliation assures that when you come to Christ, that distance is taken away. All right? Number two. So the second thing, number two, brother, the ministry of reconciliation is a big responsibility of you and us, you and I. It's the greatest responsibility that we have as Christians. That's why when Jesus was leaving, he said that go into the world and preach the gospel. Go into the world and make disciples. The greatest responsibility you and I have is the ministry of reconciliation. Nothing else matters. We have been given that ministry. It is for us to do it. If we don't do it, nobody, God is not sending any more angels to come. Remember the story of that Lazarus and the rich man? What did the rich man say to Father Abraham? Send people from here to go and to my father's house. I have 5 brothers. You need to go and warn them so they don't come here. And what did Father Abraham say? They have the prophets, they have the priests, they have the ministers of reconciliation. They have them. They must listen to them. If they don't listen to the ministers of reconciliation, then they will come here. If they listen to the ministers of reconciliation, they are not coming here. Hallelujah. Today, you and I must understand that we are the ministers of reconciliation. You know, the friends in your school, in your classroom, they will not listen to me, a preacher, a priest. But they will listen to you. Am I making sense? They will not hear what I have to say. They will say I'm too old. But they will hear what you have to say. My experience of Jesus Christ may not do anything for them. But your experience of Jesus Christ will resonate. Am I making sense? What I'm going to say as a testimony for Christ, a testimony of my life, it may not make sense or make any difference to them. But you, because you are a mirror of their lifestyle and where they are. Am I making sense? So if Christ has made the difference in your life at your level, then they can relate with it. Amen. They can relate with your life. They can relate with your story. And that will really minister to them more than any other person. So even though we as Christians, we are relying on pastors to go and preach and save sinners. No, God is relying on us and not the pastors. Because the pastors are supposed to teach us that we are ministers of reconciliation. We are supposed to go out there and reconcile the world. Am I making sense? So, Paul says that I plant, another waters, but God brings the increase. It is not he that plants. It's not he that waters. It is God who is building. But God is working through all of us to reconcile the world to himself. It doesn't matter who is, because what I say may not be the thing that brings them, but what you say. Do you get it? My word it's a seed is planted. But your experience of who God is and what God has done in your life is what we say, if God has done that for you, then God can do the same for me. That is what is going to bring them in. Amen. So this ministry of reconciliation is a big responsibility for you and I. The reason why the church is half full or emptying out is because we are failing as ministers of reconciliation. So in this whole month, I'm going to challenge you to see how effective a minister you are. How many people you can reconcile. How many say my big brother always did a good job of reconciling me to the old man? Alexander, he comes up with different strategies. He'll break the oven fresh. It's a biscuit. Then you just... Of course, I know where the oven fresh comes from. I know where the chocolate comes from. Sometimes you'll be dancing with it. All to get me to go up there. To leave Skippy and go up there. Hallelujah. Number three. If every believer plays their part in the ministry, the church will begin to grow. If every one of us, we play our part in the ministry of reconciliation. Like what I'm doing, I'm playing my part of the ministry of reconciliation by teaching you that you're a minister of reconciliation. See, what we have done today in the church is that we have made the pastor the only minister of reconciliation, which is wrong. The pastor is not the only one who is supposed to be reconciled. How many people can the pastor win? It's not the pastor's responsibility. It's all of us. Hallelujah. We all have to. So 1 Corinthians 3, 7, we've talked about it. One brings the planting, one does the, what's it called? The watering, and God brings the increase. Hallelujah. So the message of reconciliation is a message that is one of the tenets of our Christian faith. We cannot, like, faith is one of the tenets. Reconciliation is another. You can never be a Christian without faith, believing in God, receiving salvation. That's a tenet of Christianity. Once you have received salvation, the next tenet is you become a minister of reconciliation. Hallelujah. Number four. Okay, so I'm not going to do that. So next week, we're going to do practical steps to reconciliation. How we can practically teach people, or how we can practically become ministers of reconciliation. What we need to do to become ministers of reconciliation. Amen.